Good morning, everyone. It is good to be here with you all. Okay. I'm a little out of practice, so y'all gonna have to bear with me for a second. One last thing. For those of you who have never been, who have never sat under my teaching, you need to know that I am very concerned with how much of your time I take. So much so that I set a timer, but I always have to, well, I'm struggling today, guys. Oh, there it is. I can't ever remember where different things are in my phone. Shut up, James. Well, now here I am. I just done wasted too much time, so. We'll try it this way. Stopwatch, start. All right. I told Marianne 22 minutes. And I'm a little bit hungry. Everything's in your favor today, guys. The wind is blowing your way. We're getting ready to start a new series. Actually, I guess technically we're starting a new series today. It's called Loving God. And Pastor Steve asked me if I would introduce the new series and preach the first installment of it. And so today, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. If you struggle to find that, you're going to have a tough year. During the month of January, we are intentionally drawing our focus to drawing closer to God through times of prayer, Bible study, and fasting. As a part of that initiative, Pastor Steve has asked me to introduce this next sermon series. Over the next month, we want to lean in to our relationship with God as we set our focus towards loving God in a deeper way this year. First, we're going to seek to understand more about God and His characteristics. We want to know more about the character of God. Who is God? Over the next several weeks, we're going to study different attributes or characteristics of God. In the day-to-day struggle of life, I fear that we lose sight of the God that we seek to fully love. So to add that spark back to our relationship, let's take a look at this God that we claim to serve. We're going to focus this week on God, the Creator. God is the Creator. And what does that mean for us? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I could preach an entire sermon from that simple sentence. And much of what I will share today will be inspired from that simple sentence. Genesis 1:1 tells us a lot about God. We see first that He was in existence before anything else. He is the Alpha. He is the beginning. There is none that was ever before Him. There is no entity. There is no spirit. There is no God. There is no being that knows an existence where God Himself does not exist. God was first. In this introduction of Himself, He calls out first when he was. The fact that God existed prior to our understanding of time is a differentiating factor between our belief system and a lot of others. See, a lot of other ancient religions believe that human history is just a cycle, and so they take their beginning from some jumping off point in the middle of a cycle. Not us. We fully acknowledge that the God we serve is bigger than we have the ability to understand. I'm not going to stand here today and tell you how God was before the beginning. I'm too stupid to know how to explain that. All I know is that his Bible that I trust for my salvation tells me that in the beginning, that before anything ever was, my God was there. He was there. Before anything was ever conceived, my God was there. So whatever I come up against in this world, it's kind of irrelevant. Because there's literally nothing he hasn't seen. He created it all. He is not bound or limited by this construct of creation. He predates it. He is above the construct. God is bigger than what you or I have the ability to understand. He is so huge, he is so magnificent, and he is so wise that you and I could never seek to get inside of his head. See, when I read this, in the beginning God, that's what the Holy Spirit reminds me. He reminds me of the great scale of my God. Having established now when he was, God introduces himself as the creator. In the beginning, God created. We see that he did the work of creation, but we also see the scale and the scope of his creation. He created the heavens and the earth. In that, we can know and we can understand that our God created everything. He created the building blocks that creation is built upon. He created every form of matter that ever has been. That he, the great creator, made his own dirt. Some of y'all faster than the rest. It reminds me of it's a joke. This is a joke. They say it's not funny if you have to tell people, but, you know, I'm not confident in my delivery today. So the scientists, for decades, they studied the chemical compounds of humanity. And they did really well. And they created a human. And the human they created gave them great confidence. So they convened a meeting with God Almighty to inform him, "Sir, we have picked apart your design. We have dissected it in every way, and we have now replicated it. So given that we have now replicated and reproduced that which you made, we no longer need your services, and we will take it from here." God, being the ever-wise one, looked at their creation. Well, that's nice. Whose dirt did you start with? What? Even if science could replicate everything that our God has done, they still got to start with his dirt. You know, I just got done with a building project. Some of you know this. And my building project required over 100 dump trucks of dirt to be brought into my property to change the geography. You know, an interesting thought occurred to me in the middle of that? We don't make no more dirt. All the dirt that you see moving around is just dirt coming from one other place. So when I make a statement like, well, they got to start with God's dirt, that's still pretty monumental that God created dirt. And that we, in all of our infinite wisdom, have only figured out how to tear things down into dirt, but we haven't figured out how to make dirt. (Clears throat) God is the source of all that we know on this planet. He alone conceived the wild and crazy things we see in nature. I don't know how much time you spend observing nature, but I'm going to tell you, I think you should spend, you should dedicate some time this year to observing nature. Some of the wildest revelations God has given me have not been sitting in this room. They've been sitting at my desk, looking out a window at lizards and birds. I watched a lizard one day. I hope my boss isn't watching because I was supposed to be working. I watched a lizard one day climb up on his handrail, his black handrail, and change colors. Now, y'all know that happens. Like, that's nothing. I mean, most of y'all graduated high school. You've been through this. But I was sitting there watching this lizard change colors. I don't know how the Holy Spirit talks to you, but he talks to me kind of different sometimes. And he said, how you think that happens? I ain't got a clue. I'm still amazed they grow their tails, much less change colors. And I just watched. And I began to do some Google searches and trying to figure out, how exactly does this happen? And I couldn't find no good straightforward answers. Now, I'm sure there's someone in this room smart enough that you can figure it out and you can tell me about it. Do it later. Now ain't the time. But I sat in amazement. This is a stinking lizard. Y'all realize we got a rascal who's shooting people up into outer space. But that joker ain't designed one person that can change their colors. This is a little old insignificant piece of nature. And I always thought they changed colors for defense. No, this is what that joker does. He climbs up on that handrail, and he goes from green to black, and then he starts snatching things out of the sky. He does it to hunt. Those of you that have been around a while, this is almost Pineapple Jesus kind of preaching. When you stop to acknowledge and appreciate the true grandeur of God's design, it will do something inside of your spirit man. Y'all, I just spent about 5 minutes talking to y'all about a lizard changing colors. But I'm telling you, sitting at my desk, I had me a Holy Ghost moment when the Lord started showing me that. Because you know what that lizard is? That lizard is just food for something else. And then I started thinking about what it's food for. And before long, I got to beef, praise the Lord. Y'all ever look at a cow? I love cow in every state it comes in. On the hoof, in the freezer, and on the grill. Y'all realize that what a cow is God growing meat crops for humans. I'm just telling you things you probably never thought of before. Next time you drive through a field and you see cows, you're going to go, huh, it's just like corn. You know, corn growing up on stalks, right? Just it takes 4 stalks to hold up a beef. I know this is kind of silly, but we all live life so busy that we don't take time to appreciate the beauty of what our God has created. And when we don't take time to appreciate the beauty of what our God has created, we lose a little bit of that majesty that He is. He didn't have no book. He didn't have any blueprints. He didn't have any plans to go from to create this stuff. When I pray, I talked to the God who conceived how to do all of that and did it in 6 days. And again, we ain't going to argue today, but just in case you're wondering, I really do think it happened in 6 days, and I'll tell you why if you ever really want to talk about it. One no 6,000 years, one no evolutionary period. My God is so big, he spoke this stuff into existence over the period of 6 days. And I ain't going to cheapen what he did. Because God is the source of all creation, humanity and nature are not self-existent. We owe our existence and our continuance to God. In a culture that attests to independence and a spirit of being self-made, it is the believer who truly understands that which really underpins our existence. We live and die, we prosper and perish at the hand of the Creator. Because he was first in the Creator, we need to understand that we are reliant on him as our source. Oh, I better hurry, Marianne. I'll tell you a 22-minute lie. Better not. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I encourage you to go on and continue reading. Me and Kennedy got to verse 4 one night, and we lost our mind. As you read, because I know you're going to, I'm going to point something out to you. Again, just a wild moment so you can be wowed by God. You're going to find that he created light. You knew that, right? Let me mess with your head a little bit. You may not have paid attention to this when you read the Bible. It wasn't but like, I think it was 2 days later that he created everything that we think emits light. When we pray, Brad, listen. When we pray to the God that created light before there was anything to emit light. So for a couple of days of creation, there's just light. There's no sun, there's no stars, there's no moon. There's just light. When you talk to the Lord, you're talking to the one that created light and just let it hang out for a few days before he created anything that we consider light sources today. I better hurry. So then that God, he goes through all of that. And we get on down to verse 26 and 27. I love this. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, praise the Lord for beef, and the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I got a whole bunch of stuff written down, but I'm just going to tell you what's important. God changed creation from spoken to hands-on. Everything else he spoke into existence. When it came to mankind, he changed the recipe. Mankind was created for a specific purpose, and this is important. I believe this is why we are studying what we are studying. If the goal is for us as a church to grow closer in loving God, right? If that's where Pastor Steve has us headed, to love God fully. If where we're headed is to draw closer, to focus on our relationship with him, I think it's critically important to go back to the first mankind/God relationship. God created mankind in his image so that we would have the capacity to be relational to him. That's the only reason. That's it. We were made in his image so that we could be relational to him. He even gave us this little sphere to govern and to control and to preside and to rule over, so that we could relate to him who is ruling and presiding and governing over everything else. We have in us a specific design that puts us above every other creature on the planet. Now look here, I ain't here to step on your feet about your fur babies, okay? I'm not here to insult your fur babies. I know y'all love them. I like a good dog. But my dog sleeps outside, just letting you know. I mean, if I had one, I don't have one anymore. You can love them fur babies all you want to. But you need to understand that that fur baby cannot relate to God. While we are to care for it, and we are to cherish, and we are to respect his creation, we need to understand that that creation, that fur baby, was not created for relationship with God. We were. So if we were created for relationship with God, let me ask you, how is your relationship with God? That's where the rubber meets the road. I'm getting tired and hungry, so I'm gonna get there fast. When God made you, you have a specific role to fill in this world. I didn't want to share this, but I got to because I can't think of a better way to do it. I hope the Lord would give me something better, but I got nothing better. So this is how you're going to understand it. Back before I had youngins, Kennedy, I love you, dear. I really didn't want youngins. My wife wanted youngins. I really didn't want youngins. We had been doing youth ministry. I had enough of these crazy youngins. I knew what them babies grew into, and I don't want that. Me and Derek was on the way up here for something. I can't remember what he was up here for. We was riding together, and we was talking about it. Of course, you know, it's his daughter we're talking about, right? You know, she wants youngins. I don't really want youngins. And he said, why do you think people want kids? I don't know. He said, the Bible says that we were created in the image of God. Now, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? I don't understand. Inside of you, there are the same desires that are inside of God Almighty. Because you know, in a good, healthy relationship, you got common interests. You got things that you like to talk about. You got things that pull you together. One of those things in our relationship with God is our understanding of some of those same desires that he has. We want children. Eventually, I got there, and I got two of them. We want children because there's something inside of us that God sowed into us to want something that we can raise and that we can develop and that we can invest in and that we can love on, and we hope that they'll love us back. You hear that? And we hope that we pour all of this effort into them. Wipe the nasty hind ends in the middle of the night when their baby's wearing diapers. They projectile things on us. Say hateful things. Whew. But we keep doing it. because God sowed something inside of us so that we can relate to him. See, God, the Creator, created you so that he could raise you up, wipe your hind parts at some point in your life, deal with the ugliness that comes along with you, so that one day, you'll figure out how much he knew. One day, you'll choose him and love him back. We made it 3 chapters into the Bible as a people before we botched it all up. Y'all understand that? Adam and Eve, many of you are familiar. They made a real bad choice, ruined it for all of us. I'd love to say that if I were Adam, that I would have made it farther. But even with 2,000 years of Christian scholarly study to benefit from, it still don't take much more than a pebble about that big to trip these big old feet up. So I can't really say that I'd been much better than Adam. But y'all forgive me for getting a little emotional. I had a moment last night when the Lord pointed this out to me. He wanted us. He created us. He desires to have a relationship with us. And we tore down the line of communication. I mean, he used to come and just walk around and talk. And I imagine he worked with them and they had a good time. And we threw all that away. We wadded it up and said, nope, don't want none of that. And when we did, God redeemed creation. See, if you've never been in the situation where you understand how broken the line of communication is between you and heaven, you may not appreciate what he did. But let me tell you, I've been there when I felt like I couldn't get through. Because I had ripped down the telegraph line. I had torn down the lines of communication. I had walked away. I had given all of this relationship up. And that big old God, who's been in existence since before our construct of time, that big old God that was so wise and so massive and so powerful and so majestic that he made running around food that could change colors. Just dreamed that kind of stuff up. He said, son, I got a way for us to get back together. If that don't make you want to love God, I don't know what will. You see, it's important for you to know today, because I don't know where you come from. I'm closing with this. I'm done. I don't know what position you come into this house in today. I don't know what your revelation of the greatness of God is. I don't know. I'm just Jason. I ain't nobody special. But I know a God that was before time. Y'all know lightning bugs? What y'all know about lightning bugs? Did you know that lightning bugs have different glowing patterns? And that the specific purpose of those different glowing patterns are so that lightning bugs with the same glowing patterns can find each other to mate. He did that! I mean, I'd have been thrilled if I just had one of them glowing. But no, he puts Morse code out there for them. I don't know what your view of God is like. And I know, like, when we go through tough times in life, I know a lot of folk have been through some really tough times over the last couple of years. We kind of forget how big this God is. Man, he's big. And do I wish that every time we bumped into something, that, man, he just designed us a way out? You bet I do. But he don't. Sometimes his design is for us to walk through some of these tough places. But I want you to know that he's a God worth getting to know. And if you walked in here today and you don't know him, we'd love to introduce you to him. Because he built you. Even you who may sit in here today and go, I ain't never known nothing about this God. Or maybe even you who might sit in here today and say, I never wanted nothing. Man, that God never sounded that cool. He built you to have a relationship with him. That's the only reason any of us are here. We get to do a lot of extra stuff along the way. But we were made for his pleasure. And if you're feeling little today, I want you to understand something. That the God that did all these crazy little things we're talking about, he knows you. And you're important to him. He made the hind end of a lightning bug glow. Believe me, you're important to him. Maybe you don't know that. His word tells you that. I hope, if nothing else, you walk out here today with a deeper appreciation for this God that we serve. I hope he's just a little more majestic in your mind. But I hope that there's something in your heart and went, oh, I love that God. Let this be an intentional focus of your life this year. Spend time getting to know him. Because believe me, when you know him, he's easy to love. When you have that kind of relationship with him, where he calls to you, where he comforts you, where he finds you in your pain and in your fear, he's easy to love. But if you don't know him, it's not so easy. You don't know what you're missing. Father, I thank you for the simple word you've given us today. I so appreciate the truth of just how big you are. Lord, I did the best I could. And Father, by your Holy Spirit, I believe that we all going to walk out of here a little bit different, with a slightly different view of how wonderful you are. And for that, Lord, I am so thankful. Now I ask that you take your word that I've preached today and you sow it deep in our hearts, that as we leave your house, we walk out of here with a spark in our relationship with you. Lord, I ask that you would wow us with your creation. And Father, I ask that you would speak inside of our hearts to the greatness and the wonders of who you are. that we would be drawn closer into fellowship with you. That your work in creating us would not be in vain, but that, Lord, we would bless your heart. That we would put a smile on your face as we become closer to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.
Amen.
I ask you to ponder these things as you leave here today. Ask God to reveal himself to you. I appreciate that you took time to be here today. I trust that the Holy Spirit has said something to you. If nothing else, we've read from his word, and we have glorified the King of Kings. Boy, he is good. Hope you all have a wonderful week. Let me pray a prayer blessing over you, and then we'll go. Father, these are wonderful people. This is a good church. Lord, I ask that you would put your hand on them, that you would protect them, that you would guard them, that you would keep them safe. And Lord, that you'd bring them back to us. Lord, as they walk out of here, let your light shine on them and through them to ignite a dark and hurting world. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, y'all have a great week. Be blessed.